episode of the Stucky and Augmented Reality podcast. Again, I'm your host, Stephen Christian. And, well, I guess I would be considered the host if it's just like a reflective podcast for just me. It's kind of like a audio video diary. But on this podcast, again, I'm just sort of sharing updates as a medical student during the pandemic that is also exploring and educating people on the future of augmented reality specifically. You could put it under the XR stuff. I don't really do VR, but it's really all about just introducing people to new ways to make it through life by being creative and using technology to help better their lives, right? And so, welcome to the Stucky and Augmented Reality Podcast. Woo! Eventually, I'll have like a jingle or something, but we're not there yet. You know, I got medical school test to do and study and stuff, right? So, it's been since the last episode, it's been really, really interesting because a lot of stuff seems to happen all the time, but a lot of stuff like did happen since my last podcast. Obviously, going through medical school and that's its own situation, but I also did the Augmented World Expo, and I also did the Unity Certified Instructor Summit. And so those were two things that I did over the past week. That were really, really cool. And then, one of the things that I try to do is be tapped in with the community and be tapped in with, the world around me. So this week in particular has been, there's been a lot of unfortunate news for people that just sort of follow trending topics, whether it's hip hop, social, current events and stuff like that, stuff that's race related, which in American society, like everything is race related. You can't really get around it. It's just sort of ingrained in it. And because of those race relations, there's these disparities that sort of play out in front of our faces. And so, and then people tend to like use that stuff as ammo for a less than ideal agenda. The big thing really obviously is like every day is med school day. I think I'm getting used to the pace of medical school. I think that what I'm learning from medical school and coming from, being introduced to the tech industry and being in sports and being in, being a freelancer in entertainment, the thing that I'm like learning about the medical field or like just sort of pursuing medicine and trying to get to that like ideal role as a health professional, as a doctor, I'm learning that it's a journey. And it's a journey in these like very in these ways that are very reminiscent of like my athletic journey, where the majority of my day is spent studying. The majority of my day is spent preparing for the unknown. And the thing that I've learned that I pull from sports is that for my 12 years of playing sports, it was really difficult. Like I wasn't working. I mean, I ended up working like temp jobs and creative jobs later on, but like I wasn't working, and most of my time was spent training and preparing for games or situations to use the skills that I've developed over time, right? And so what that means is that every waking moment I'm always trying to get better, because you will ultimately never really be prepared for the exact moment that you're training for. You are acquiring skills and becoming more comfortable reacting in situations that you have possibly been exposed to. And because there's so many situations out there, you're always trying to get better. There's always something better that you could do. And then when you get to a game, like you never know when, they always say like you never know when the ball will find you. And so always be ready for, when the ball is ready for you, because you never know what will happen. You don't know what's going to happen 2 minutes from now. You don't know what's going to happen next quarter. And so, but you have to train in a way that like you prepare for everything so that you could do well and you could have highlights and stuff like that. And so with medicine, a lot of the things that I find myself doing are just I'm studying for any possible situation that I could be tested on and any possible situation that I would have with like a standardized patient. And there's all these procedures that we need to know, different assessments that we need to do, different things we need to look out for and we need to be aware of. And there's different things we actually need to ask. We in many ways, like it feels like, I'm a journalist when I go into the clinic and I'm trying to talk and care for people, because you have to ask them certain questions so that they understand that you're just trying to help them and you're not trying to get over on them, right? And so most of my time, yeah, it's just spent just training or studying or prepping for what may happen. And that leads to me not being able to work or not being able to do anything else but really just dedicate my time to it. And that investment ultimately will be like the payout in the long run when, I have my own practice or I get into residency and stuff. But right now it's just not the case. And so I like this feeling that I have of like I feel like I'm getting used to it. I think it's just I feel like I'm connecting to previous experiences that I've had already and seeing that there's some parallels. And so when they say like, oh yeah, like athletes, medicine is looking for athletes, it's like, yes, I could see how they make that connection. The only problem is that most of the athletes that, would benefit from these opportunities are essentially the ones in revenue-generated sports like football and basketball that are used to the stress, but they probably don't have the grades and all these things sort of these disparities sort of play out in that, and that's why this sort of like ideal dream of like an athlete going into like healthcare is not really feasible with this current society and the current structure. And I like mentioned the like the current society and current structure because a lot of the stuff that I've been focused on is institutions and how to combat certain structural problems with creativity and knowledge dissemination. And so one of the things that I did obviously was doing the Augmented World Expo. And in the Augmented World Expo, I got this opportunity to talk with be on a panel with the Vice President of Unity Technologies, the Vice President of Social Impact and Education for Unity Technologies, Jessica Lindell, and then two other Black creators. One is Damian McDuffie, who created Black Terminus AR, and he's also the archivist for the Black Panther Party. And then also Lady Phoenix, who is the founder of the Yes Universe, and she was the one that worked on the Brianna's Garden, which is the Breonna Taylor, like immersive experience that pays homage to Breonna Taylor, and me. I worked on the George Floyd project that people saw like that I did in Portland, and so it was like the purpose of her talk was really talking about confronting systemic racism and creating safe spaces in real life. In real life with AR. And it's the reason we did that, the reason that thing we were talking about this is because it was an opportunity to address systemic issues with creativity and education. It's really just exposure and showing what the potential of what Black people have potential to do with the resources that they have available. And I think that's really powerful because when we're talking about agency or autonomy, these things that like, these sort of like Republican talking points of like, oh, you know, they want their people want to keep their freedoms and they want to be able to do the things and protect themselves and all that stuff, right? Despite not being in any real danger, and most of the danger is fabricated, when we're talking about black and brown communities, people that are affected by these structural issues, there's a real danger of not knowing what to do in situations. When you don't have knowledge and you don't have resources and access to tools, you're in a very real danger. And so when you have a computer but you don't know how to utilize it, that can be a life or death situation for people that may be underinsured, maybe have limited, you know, resources to contact people, you know? And we've seen many a times where a simple tweet has would change somebody's life or save somebody's life because they have access to information and stuff now. And so when we're talking about it, when we're on the stage talking about these things, it felt really good to sort of like connect with people, albeit, you know, connecting with people in real life, but we're connecting with people and we're sharing ideas on a international stage about how the work that is being done in real time to address these issues. And it goes beyond just, oh yeah, what is the version of Unity that you're using? Or what software language do you know? Or, you know, how are you rendering this out? Is it real time or is it, you know, using something else? It's talking about the impact that these ideas have using the tools in society as they're growing. And so we're not talking about, oh yeah, you know, like there's a multi-billion-dollar industry existing already, and we need to fill these roles, so we need to teach people how to code. It's like, no, we need to we're teaching people how to develop critical thinking skills by to address real problems in their lives as they're experiencing those real problems. And so and I think that it just felt really good to sort of share a stage with people that were doing we had our own lanes, but our lanes were worked in parallel and they overlapped in so many ways that that it just felt good to just sort of be a part of that and experience it. And so, you know, aside from that, right? I got to just go to the Augmented World Expo. And that mess was cool. Like that was really awesome. I'm upset because I could only get the first day off, the day of my talk, to go because I had to do a standardized patient assessment in Reno. And so I was in Santa Clara. It was awesome. It was like a lot hotter than I expected. You know, I got to see some family because obviously I'm from the Bay Area, and I got to connect with people on Twitter that I didn't think I would ever meet in person. And it was weird because I would talk to, like, when I would meet people, I'd be like, oh yeah, you know, my name is Steve, blah, blah, blah. And I'll start talking to people. And then they would mention like a project or something that they did. And I'd be like, huh, I remember seeing that on Twitter. I didn't realize you did that. And then they'd be like, oh yeah, you know, like I knew you looked familiar. And it would be that sort of thing where like you're able to connect the profile picture and, you know, your handle, your Twitter handle, and the work that you do with the actual person. And that felt really good. It felt real. Like it felt like, you know, this was a real thing. It wasn't just some like random scam of just like people just hiding behind, you know, like profile pictures and stuff. Like it just felt real. And that was nice. But I didn't get to go to like the expo and stuff because they only had the expo the second and third day. And so now that I know that the expo, Augmented World Expo, will be in the summertime, I'm definitely going and I'm definitely trying to speak at it again so that I don't have to pay $1,500 to get a ticket. And so that's the goal, you know, speaking at Augmented World Expo again. But you know, after that, Unity reached out to me, and they reached out to me to speak at their Unity Certified Instructor Summit. So I spoke at the Augmented World Expo last week, the week of the 14th, and then I spoke at the Unity Certified Instructor Summit the week of the 21st, and that was really awesome because I got to meet Ben Radcliffe, or I didn't get to meet him, but like I got to share the stage, the virtual stage, with Thomas Winkley and Ben Radcliffe, who are, you know, sort of like creme de la creme Unity instructors. They're the people that, like, you know, if Unity is doing something to benefit the community, they're probably going to have them involved in it. And like the Unity Rast, like the real time Rascal series that Ben Radcliffe did, I mean, like that's just been a big inspiration for me going into Unity. And so what they asked me to do, because they saw that I am doing a lot of, I don't have enough time to like s teach a lot of courses as a Unity certified instructor, but I need to maintain like my certificate by like doing education related stuff. And so I sort of devised this plan of like, what if I just do that through social platforms? And so it's asynchronous and it's these like bite-sized bits of projects and exploration and information, bite-sized bits of teaching that allows me to disseminate knowledge in a digestible way that doesn't require so much of a commitment from me and doesn't require a commitment from others. If they want to learn more, they could go and they could see all the courses that I have that I've spent a lot of time doing pre-medical school. But now it's a matter of how do I be efficient in my teaching process as a medical student that also has 20 other things going on, right? And so I have, 30 minutes to an hour to devote to something, but I don't have 4 hours to teach a course, right? And so they were like, hey, like we really like the stuff that you're doing and we want to see if you wanted to be involved with it. So like, we have an opening, just pitch a talk that you want to do and kind of go from there. And I was like, okay, cool. This is like during that time, it was, I still had a little bit of this like imposter syndrome of like, do I really know what I'm doing? Or, I feel like I'm always trying to just figure it out as I go. And so, and then I like reflect on it and be like, okay, this was good and I'll continue doing it. Or if it didn't work out, then I see what I could do better, right? But like it's something I just sort of come up with an idea and then I put my time and energy to it, my dedication to it, my focus to it, and then I put it out there and then I sort of move on to the next thing and see what I've learned from it and how I could improve on it, right? And so when like it this forced me to sort of look back at my approach to why I create things or why I explore ideas. And it really came down to really just looking at what my background is and what are the things that I actually do, and being really critical of it. Not being buzzwordy, but like actually looking at the specific examples and using those as an example of why I'm building a community or why, I'm getting opportunities. And so I ended up titling the talk Interdisciplinary Approaches to Innovative Projects. And the reason I did that is because for me, I sort of dealt with this stigma of being a generalist. And the stigma of being a generalist means that I'm not a master, I'm sort of like a jack of all trades, a master of none. And when you're in the creative industry, there's one role for one specific skill set. And so it doesn't matter if you know storyboarding or if it doesn't matter if you know illustration. If you are an animator, you need to be the best animator for that job. Who cares what other skills you have, right? And so it's very focused on being a master of one skill set. If you're great at animating hair, you do hair for your career. If you're great at 3D modeling, you do 3D modeling, and that's your career. You may have other interests, but like your career is focused on one specific thing. And I think that's antithetical to like where the creative community is going, because often you don't know what you're good at until you try a whole bunch of different things and then you narrow it down based off of what you want to do. And often when you because there's smaller studios now that are creating work because tools are available, you have to pick up a lot of different things. If you start a company, if you start your own studio, you're doing all the different roles that are required for it. And a tool like Unity allows you to do that a lot quicker. You don't need to have this robust knowledge of every single skill set in order to put together a 2-minute video with a couple of characters in it, right? You just need to know how to use the tools and approach it. So it's really about approaching those ideas. And so it really came down to like me saying like I combine art and technology to create and entertain. I combine art and technology to create entertaining and educational experiences. It's all about creating that experience. And so I use an interdisciplinary approach, which is really just about just like thinking outside the box. And then I use this concept that I pulled from Afrofuturism, which is exploring the what if and reimagining an alternate reality that challenges preconceived notions. And that preconceived notion is that you have to be a master of something in order to have a flourishing career. It's like, what if you had a variety of skill sets and you knew how to use the tools properly? What would you be able to create and what ideas would you be able to explore, right? And so I initially addressed like, okay, the reason we use Unity, the way we build our skill set now is you take courses and you have these technical skills and you create a portfolio, and that portfolio you use to apply for jobs based on your technical experience. But, you know, nowadays, like, you make a YouTube video and now you have a career based off of your own creativity. And so it's like, you know, at this point, Unity isn't just like a game engine. It's not just, it's a tool for you to explore ideas. And, you know, being able to reimagine or think of ideas to explore is really that hindering factor. And like, as an instructor, I always get, as a Black instructor, I would say, as a Black instructor, I always get these questions of, you know, how do I get started? And how do you come up with interesting project ideas? Those two things are the things that I always get. And it tends to become from like Black students or students of color that ask me that. And so it was like my focus is always on that. It's like, how do you come up with ideas to explore? Because you could get learn how to click, you know, this or click that, but how, when you click those things, what happens? Like, why are you doing that? That becomes the thing that people get lost on or get tied to. And so I just sort of told them a story of, you know, just like how I sort of go about this organic process. And it really comes down to like, you know, I'm typically just stressed out. So I go on TikTok, I look for, you know, I just sort of stumble and watch videos like everybody else. I'll stumble on something and then I'll just like, you know, participate in it. It's typically a dance. And so I'll just like do a dance and post it on TikTok. But as a creator, it's like, okay, how can I take that to the next level? And so then I'll just sort of take the references that I have, take the things that inspire me to do the dance, and say, what if I reimagine it as an animated video rather than a live action video? And so I go through, I have a motion capture suit, I'll do the dance and stuff, and then I'll just add it to some 3D characters and I'll post that as the video. And so then I'll have a live action video and I'll have an animated video. But then the next thing is like, okay, how can I push the envelope forward? How can I take this from just being a live action trend to being an immersive experience and then build it out and create, bridge the gaps between the animated and the digital and the physical world, right? And so then it really comes down to having those 3D characters that I did the animated video with and placing them in the real world and then recording it in real time as if they're really there, and being able to do that to contribute to a TikTok trend, you need to have a certain skill set to do that and pull that off. And if you know that skill set, then you are ready for any job opportunities of people that need that skill set. And so you're able to tap in with the community. And so your portfolio is just you being creative. And, you know, like your portfolio is essentially like ingrained in sort of like your lifestyle, where you create all these different things and you put them out, and then opportunities come from you just living your life and being creative. And that is something that like I want to see from us as people, as creators, but specifically like that's what I'm used to coming from football and coming from sort of the hip hop community and stuff, right? You know, we have our lives and stuff like that, but like what we enjoy to do is we love to rap, we love to work out, we love to play basketball, you know? And if you're good, you get the opportunity to move on to the next level and be a pro, you know? And it should be like those nuances should be ingrained into the opportunities or the landscape of technology, And you just don't really see that as much now, or you don't see the opportunities like that. So that's something that I just want to create and encourage. And from there, it builds from there, right? Because like once you have these experiences, you had these deliverables, and going through this creative journey, you have these deliverables of, you have project demos, you have creative time lapses, you have step-by-step guides, 1 minute tutorials, walkthrough blogs, online courses, all based off of you just being creative and then sharing how you create. And ultimately, like it becomes this sort of this vicious cycle that's beneficial, because you get to do the market research of like, what are people interested in and what do people enjoy? You get to learn how to develop projects and products that allow you to package your creativity and possibly sell it. And then ultimately, you're building this community in real time that as you learn, you share with others, and then you inspire other people to learn. And you know, in many ways, this creating a safe space for non-traditional creators to explore new ways of creating with technology. You know, and I think this really parallels with like the thing that I talked about with Augmented World Expo, where it's all about creating. It's all about working with people to improve and inspire and educate. And so if you are, you know, being selfless and you're being a part of the community, you're contributing to society in a beneficial way, like, you know, educators do, then more opportunities will come to you, and you will have a greater impact on other people. And that really stood out to me. And you know, I think it, like going through this process allowed me to really take a step back and revisit a lot of the old work that I thought that I did, you know, and a lot of the other videos that I did, where it's like when I look at a lot of my old projects, I could come up with a what sort of a what if thesis of, you know, the general concept, the general idea of, you know, a certain project or a picture or whatever is this. You know, what if I did this? What would happen? And just some examples that I used were just I made a picture of my main characters, Roscoe and Cadbury, and they're just watching TV, right? So it's just a poster of them watching TV. So it's like, what if you watched their favorite show with them? What would that experience be like? And I just created an AR experience where you're literally watching the show that they're watching. You know, I'm a big fan of Yu-Gi-Oh! And so, you know, we all know that like Yu-Gi-Oh! Is pretty much just an augmented reality card game. That's what it's based off of, just an AR card game. And so it's like, what if you brought the Yu-Gi-Oh! Card game to life and augmented a Yu-Gi-Oh! Card? And then, you know, obviously, because of the background that I have with the George Floyd project, you know, that was really focused around, what if I installed a 30-foot monument in the middle of downtown without needing a permit? You know, what would that experience be like? And what if I made it larger than life? I made it more dynamic than that. And really exploring like what those things can be and what those things can do. It just I feel fortunate that I'm able to speak and say and talk about these things, right? And so the things that I sort of narrowed it down to is just really just sort of exploring, reimagining, bridging gaps with connections and disciplines that you already have, and then being able to create, give yourself time to create, and then contributing to to society and contributing to the community with those creations, revisiting those creations and seeing like, how can you turn these into learning objectives? And how could you, what skills were needed to, you know, explore this process and create these deliverables? And then ultimately, you know, just like putting it out as educational stuff, right? Like, what are learning objectives? What are assignments that you could take people on or give people to help them develop these skills so that they could create these projects and then apply these skills to the projects that they want to create when they have their own ideas that they naturally stumble upon? And so it's really just how to craft cool projects others will want to learn by integrating a interdisciplinary approach to problem solving. And that's all that is, you know. And it's something that I think it's something that, as somebody that has a master in interdisciplinary studies, over the past 10 years, that's something I've been just exploring. How do I utilize this degree and this skill set that I have in a growing market that doesn't realize that, you know, this is the answer, you know? And it's been difficult, obviously, but it's something that I think is like my life's calling, and I'm very fortunate to, well, I appreciate the direction that I took and the things that I did to get to this point, because I'm starting to see it pay off in the end. But one of the things that as I have these high highs, they tend to come with these unfortunate lows. And so, like, as I'm finding a deeper path with finding an integration with healthcare and XR, and I guess one of I guess the reason I say that is because when I was at the Augmented World Expo, I got to see a talk with the Mayo Clinic and what they're doing to explore immersive technology. It's called immersive healthcare. And when I mentioned, like, oh yeah, I want to find ways to integrate the art and technology into healthcare, they're doing, like, they're doing it. And it's the Mayo Clinic, right? Like, they're like creme de la creme, right? So, I got to share the stage with the people that are doing the innovative stuff at the Mayo Clinic with immersive healthcare. And so, I put out a tweet, like a public tweet, and was like, hey, like, it'll be great to meet you guys, and I want to connect with you guys, and hopefully that turns into like a project where I get to work, do some stuff with the Mayo Clinic. So we're just putting that out to the luck gods. But like, when I came back from the Augmented World Expo and sort of did all these different things, I was inspired. I was sitting on cloud nine, because I felt like this is where things are coming together in this way that I know will be beneficial for people. And it's inspiring for me, because like, I'm getting answers to things that I had questions to, but I didn't know how to ask or who to ask. And so they're just sort of coming to me. But and I'm trying to do these to address very specific problems, structural issues that I've experienced as a Black person, that is trying to go through healthcare and that is trying to go through all these different things that have had issues, just because I'm a Black person, navigating them, right? And so we have like two things that sort of happened this week, right? The Rittenhouse trial, where, a white guy, like, he his parents or mom or whatever drives him across the state lines to another state, gives them a gun and just says, hey, do you. And having that play out as a the way that I did, it makes me feel some type of way. Because as a Black person, I'm worried about being misconceived and being judged on things that I might do. And I feel like I can use technology to make life safer for me, so that people don't think that I'm up to something else and that I'm going to harm them. But to see this whole situation play out, where this person went to a situation in this sort of guise of trying to make things better, but not make things better for people, just make things better for somebody's property and for somebody's money. Literally, you're not running around protecting, people. You're over there protecting brick and mortar buildings, right? And to see it all play out in a way that, like, we kind of expected, where it's like, okay, white guy has a gun, he, is gonna play the whole self-defense thing, and then he shoots somebody and kills somebody, and then people respond to him. And try to take him down, and then use that as a further excuse to self-defend himself, right? If you see somebody shooting somebody and killing them on the street, somebody shot and killed me, I would hope somebody would run after that person and try to get them, not just let them run free. And to see how that was used as a as further excuse to kill more people, and then embolden a whole community that happens to be pro-life, quote unquote, and say that they deserved it. It's just, it's unfortunate. Like it's unfortunate to see how, black people in the society, have to always give people, always have to combat these stereotypes and make sure these things don't happen. But then other people can literally do whatever the heck they want, live up to a stereotype, all these things, and not be held accountable for it. And it further just got even worse when, like as I said, I'm just a big fan of hip hop, and to see, Young Dolph just die, get murdered because he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. It's an unfortunate situation. And part of it is like these things happen in these areas that, people were like, oh yeah, I need to protect myself. I need to do this. I need to do this. So that I don't get taken advantage of. But then they start harming people in the process. And it's like this, it's a double standard. I wouldn't even say it's a double standard. It's just sinister that these things could happen. And so it's like, for me, how do I navigate all this stuff, and how do I educate people and connect with people and inspire people despite these things that are happening, right? It's like when I go and I try to talk to a group of black students and I'm like, hey, you could get into AR and XR and this could change your life. And then they see the freaking stuff on the news and the stuff that's happening. And, it's like, who am I to sit here and say, oh yeah, you just need to, open up your computer and just make some stuff, right? When there's very real things that, can hinder that progress. Because all this stuff could be for nothing if somebody just shoots you in the face. Like that's just what it comes down to. And people understand that. People feel that. And so it's like, half the time people are just trying to get by. They're not trying to, get an investment and, work 5 years to build up to something. Like things aren't promised like that. And so it's a it like I think the responsibility that like creators like me have is to how do is to be transparent in how to navigate that as you're trying to pursue your dreams and bring ideas to life. And in many ways, like these experiences are tend to be those ideas that you want to bring to life, because these are the things that you feel. They're on your mind. They're what people are talking about. They're a way to cope with and navigate. And so in order to do that, you have to give yourself the grace, and you have to give yourself the opportunity to. And so it's like, based off of this, I would explore a project, and I would teach people how to create within the context of these types of ideas. Because, this experience is not this is, your educational experiences are not in a vacuum. They're affected by the things that you see on TV. They're affected by the things that happen in society. And I think in many ways, people will use coding and technology and art as a way to escape society when they work hand in hand. In many ways, they inspire each other, right? We see a science fiction movie from the 80s, and now we have that same technology that was in the movie in our pockets right now. And the ground basis is technology. The inspiration was society. It was culture. And so I think, the work that I want to do or want to continue doing is really exploring that intersection, not bridge the gaps, because there's already connections there. it's exploring those intersections so that people have very real and specific reference points that they get pulled to, so that they can further build on those ideas and build, be creative and stuff. And so, you know, like, it's been a very formative, really a very formative couple of weeks for me, because, you know, like, it feels like there's always something. Like, I'm grinding, trying to, like, figure out, you know, school and teaching and all these different things that are happening at once. And then things are always happening. They're always happening. But what I'm learning, and this is something that, like, I am growing, like, I'm appreciating more and more, is just being creative and giving myself the opportunity to create and make a podcast and explore these ideas and put them out there, and then sort of connect with people and connect with the community. I get these responses back that really helped me. Really helped me, because last week or yesterday, the day before that, you know, we had like 15 lectures this week, and these 15 lectures were on like pulmonary system and like the renal system, and you're talking about emphysema, you know, obstructive lung diseases, all these things that are happening, and we're sort of on the cusp of flu season and stuff. And so we're learning about all this dense material, and we're going to be tested on it. And it's 15 lectures, right? And each one of these lectures is at least like an hour to 2 hours long. So that's just 30 hours worth of material. And it takes like 1 to 2 hours to review the material and like make note cards and stuff, right? So it's been a rough week for me, and like I'm like mentally exhausted. And so being able to like just sort of take a step back and create something and reflect on the experiences that I had to hopefully inspire others to just keep doing it, it feels good. And so a physician that had a podcast just reached out to me and was just like, hey, you know, like I wanted to see how you're doing. You know, I like the things that you're doing. Keep doing them. And, you know, it's really good to see you sort of adjusting to it and being able to stay up to date with the things that's going on. And it's like, okay, you know, like often you don't think that like people are watching, or you don't think that people are engaging with your stuff, because you just see a number. You don't know what's happening behind it. And so to see that, you know, people are reaching out, or they're responding, or there's comments on it, it feels like I started a conversation, and by starting that conversation, people were able to engage in the conversation, have that conversation continue. And it just feels good. It just feels really, really good. And so, you know, with this podcast, I'm trying to get a little more of like a format for it going. But again, it was a rough week. But, you know, obviously, like what you could expect with this is just, you know, medical school updates, just recent projects and events that like I was a part of. You're definitely going to get some current topics and stuff, because I think that you can't be forward thinking if you aren't tapped in with society and the community. And so, you know, being able to really explore those things as they're happening is very valuable to this whole creative journey. And then ultimately, you know, I still have this weekly webcomic that I do with the Willamette Weekly. And so I think I'm going to start integrating that into it, because it gives me an opportunity to actually like make the comics and not make them last minute, because I tend to do that, and just really reflect on like why I created that comic that week. As you can imagine, it's probably this week is going to be some Rittenhouse related one, right? And so that's just something I look forward to doing, just to sort of just keep everything together. And then, you know, I was looking at from the Unity Certified Summit, like reflecting on a lot of the projects that I've done, that I'll just post a video and move on to them and not really talk about them. And so really just revisiting those projects and reflect on what that creative journey was for me, and why, just, you know, what was the purpose of like making those things. Because the projects that I posted on Twitter, those are the things that got me the opportunities that I got today. Like, hands down, if I didn't post stuff on Twitter, you would not care about Steve as a as an XR creator. I would not be doing anything with Unity. I would not be doing speaking at Augmented World Expos. I would not be doing any of that stuff if I did not make projects and just post them on Twitter. And so I think that I need to, well, I would like to just give them a little more respect than what I've been giving them. And that's just the goal. And then ultimately, like, I'm constantly getting DM like direct messages and emails to just from students and people just talking about random things that either inspired me or had me think about things a little differently. And so I think I'll start integrating that stuff too. So if you're watching, if you're listening, definitely post comments and send me messages. That way I could integrate those into the show. And then ultimately it's just, there's going to be prompts, and like I did with the last episode, and just sort of keeping you up to date with all these different upcoming events. And so just on be on the lookout for everything. Again, like and follow and do all the stuff. I always hate saying that because I feel like I'm begging for attention, begging for support. But yeah, just support the way you want to. Getting ready to come up with the Kickstarter for Island Fever AR. Really super excited about it. Trying to really have an impact in a very specific way. And then I'll be doing a holiday flash sale, 'cause I have budget money that I need to spend, and I want to build this sort of creative community with the things that I already have. So, I just want to make things accessible and inspire people going into holiday to create some interesting and fun things. And I'm just sort of available to help people do that. And so, without further ado, really, really appreciate it. I always joke because I always try to say I'm gonna do a 20-minute episode, and then I look at the clock and that messes an hour. And so, really appreciate all the support up until this point. And just create, conquer, and try to, have a good, lovely day until the next episode. And so, without further ado, I will leave you guys at that. Adios.